a week off going to about 7 Million Park. So I've been at my laptop all day, basically.
Was you glued to Boris's announcement just earlier
Nah.
on?
Now, I think the thing about with those announcements, they leak all the news before anyway, so I just read it online. I don't really like listening to Boris is not a pastime I do by choice. Do you know what I mean? It's like
I agree. I agree.
so you
It's
know,
worth
I
it.
mean, my barber will be back on April the 12th. I'll see him on April the 17th because I'm not really one of those first through the door type of guys. And then life returns, right? I mean, I'm an anti-vaxxer as well, so I'm the worst
Oh,
sort of
you're full on
person.
anti. So before we get into the pod, you're an anti-vax. You're not a skeptic, you're anti.
The funny thing is, I'm not the term anti-vaxxer suggests that I'm anti-vaccines, plural. I'm just anti this
This one.
vaccine.
Okay.
And there's not a lot to it other than my first memory was, man, we need a vaccine. And I remember when they asked the scientists and they said, when's the vaccine coming? The scientists were like, look, vaccines take 4 years for like to sort of
If
see
you're
side
lucky.
effects, test the cells, test the reaction of the body, check women's fertility and men's fertility, like all of that. And then what, 6 7 months later, hey, we got a vaccine, guys. You know, let's get it going. I'll wait for the 4 years, player. We'll see how it plays out after that. Like, I'm glad the world's getting it and I will be able to go to the pub, but I'll just keep my buddy needle free. And I know what you're going to say, but what if you can't go to the pub and that's fine.
They'll make it so that you can't go to the supermarket, the pub, you
Online
know.
shopping, I'm
How are
cool
they
with
gonna
that.
do that, Jay? How are they gonna do that, Jay? They will do it,
Yeah,
Joel.
but how? How? I need to know because everybody keeps putting that into the ether and legally they can't. So I want to know how.
Because
This.
if you're Tesco or if you are Wetherspoons, my man from Pimlico Plumbers, the CEO, he's been on my program 3 times chatting about we ain't sending out no plumbers that A aren't vaccined themselves, and we're not going to any houses that aren't vaccine. Now, as a
Oh,
private
where was he?
company, they
Where
can
was
do
he?
that.
Where was he?
Pimlico Plumbers.
No, you said he's been on what show?
Oh, everywhere. Channel 4 News. I see clips of him on GM, on Piers Morgan's show.
All right. So where's the other geezer who's saying I don't give a shit about all that? Where's he been? What
What
shows has he been on?
rival company?
No, just the opposite to that opinion. Where's that floating about?
No, them people are around. Them people are
No, but
around.
they're not on your. They're not on those platforms. They're not getting the love my man's getting.
No, granted, but the
No,
point
but
I
the
make
reason why my man's getting love is because he is pushing a narrative that
that
they
the
want
government
people to
want. No,
jump
I
on.
know, but that's why I'm saying it to Jay because he quoted him as a go-to reference. And I'm not saying that was, I get it, but what I'm saying is that's what everyone does. He's going to be the go-to reference for everybody, and there's no go-to reference on purpose for the opposing view because they don't want to push that narrative. So I think we've got to be very mindful about that because what we're doing without even knowing it is we're starting to segregate and then marginalize, and then we're going to start to nitpick at the people that have the opposing view and put them in this place where They're demonized.
we don't live in a place where they are allowed to have that opposing view, The let thing
alone
is with me,
exercise their right.
I'm so like comfortable in my own skin. And You
you're a hardcore case, but I'm
just talking about, I'm tell me
talking
what
about.
I can't do because I'm not getting a vaccine. I'm cool with that. Like what can be. I'm kind of surviving now and I'm not doing anything, right? I mean, I think the thing is, it's like Israel are ahead of the game. And But what's
you know
interesting
why?
about Israel is their youngsters aren't on it at all. So you can see where they've said to their youngsters under like 50 and said, this is your time and date to get your vaccine. And then you could just see the doctor's surgeries and all of the seats are empty
Empty.
where they're not rolling. And I saw something now where they've A started paying all the influencers, like all the reality influencers, to say get the vaccine, but they've also started vaccinating people in bars and clubs and said you get a free drink if you get
You're
vaccinated.
tempting there as well.
That's hilarious. And that for me is like, you know what? If this bar and club is dealing with needles out in the open, I'm not coming anyway, right? So let's just roll
I
safe.
mean, think about that for a second. That is how desperate they are to push this thing. Get that fuck out of my face.
Yeah,
What do you think this is? Jay,
youngsters.
where are you sitting, Jay?
I'm in the middle, so I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but I'm also not in any rush to get this jab. And you know, it's an unpopular view of my various workplaces, so you have to be really careful where I say this. you know why, innit? People get emotional, and I get why. But if you say it out loud, you're seen as like you said, you're demonized. I'm of the mindset that I'm in no rush to take it. I'll happily be last to get the vaccine. But I have, and maybe you're wrong. Maybe you're right. Sorry. But I have this view that if you're Tesco's or if you're Marks and Spencer's or if you're Weatherspoon's, they will have it. They want to go with the majority in it. So the majority of people, they're going to appease them. The majority of the country are dying to get the vaccine. So if that's their custom, they're going to cater to them. So they'll enforce a rule that says, listen, you can't come in Tesco's unless you can show the certificate thing.
I just don't think they're going to do that. But if they do, George, bear in mind, I used to be a Tesco man. Yeah, I used to work in Tesco's as my part-time job, Sainsbury's, yeah? I'll just forge that shit. Someone like me is just going to look at it and go, oh, that looks legit, and away we go. But I don't think they're ever going to get that far. You might not be able to.
I hope not.
You might not be able to go to like social bars and stuff. But to get your shopping, they're basically saying get the vaccine or starve, and there must be some human rights issues going on there. Do you know
what
I mean?
Tesco's are a private company. They don't have to have you in their shop, so they can enforce the rule that says.
But if they let the public into their shop, then there are certain grounds with which they can't just bar.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
So that's where this whole notion and I say people putting it out there.
But Joe, here's the thing. What about if they do it under the basis of health and safety? If you're the CEO of Tesco's, you can maybe say, well, on the grounds of health and safety, we can't have people in our stores that aren't vaccinated to mix with people who are. That's what they might try and say.
I think the best thing they could do is vaccinate their own people. They can't vaccinate me as the general public. They might say to work on a shop floor. And even then, I think, because, you know, in my company, they asked the question directly. They said, are people who don't get vaccinated not going to be allowed to go into the office? And he said, we discussed that for 1 second. And my lawyer said, if you do that, expect lawsuits. And I wasn't even on it anyway, right? So I don't think they're going to do it. I think they'll squeeze you out. I think there'll be like travel restrictions and stuff like that. But you know what? I'm poor anyway, so I ain't got money for holidays.
Well, I ain't, so I do. So,
G, what are you doing? You taking it, G?
I'm like George. If there are 10 people taking it, make me ninth. I'm not anti, but let me see how it goes with other people.
Like Joe, I'll take it in 4 or 5 years when the scientists told me that that's when it would have been tested thoroughly. I'm there, but where I've watched shows like World War Z and The Walking Dead, I just don't know how this vaccine is going to play out. Do you know what I mean?
So, Mark, you talk about facility. You look at have a few more kids then. Yeah, is that what you're saying?
No. I'm not talking about fertility for me. I'm just talking generally. To be honest, if I knew it would make me sterile, I might be more willing to take it because my swimmers are strong, G. Every time I tried, I hit the jackpot. So I'm willing to just, you know, if you market it as that sort of thing, then I'm cool.
We'll see what happens anyway. This is the Football Fans Podcast, by the way, listeners. If you think you've stumbled upon the wrong kind of podcast, my name is Jordan. I'm joined, G and Marva here. And I was going to say special guest, but I'm not going to say special guest. Not because you're not special, but because, I've been doing this pod now, 5 years, and you've done at least 15 appearances. So special guest implies like you're some kind of outsider who we're bringing in to the... Nah. We got Joe. You might have heard him earlier on, Spurs fan. Good evening, Joe. How are you doing, sir?
Oh, very well, sir. Very well.
Good. You're very well whilst holding a Tottenham mug. So there's a massive contradiction in that whole
thing. Maybe
kind of
because
fashion.
I am a mug. Who knows?
Maybe we all are. Maybe we all are. Everyone well? Everyone good, gentlemen? Everyone good, first of all, just before we kick off?
I'm good.
Happy, healthy?
Not too bad, man.
I'm a lot better than you, man. Let's put it right.
Okay, I was trying to be nice and start off with a little nice tea there. The man just went straight in. Okay, all right.
I mean,
this
is why I haven't been around, Jude, because I've been like... I've been talking to the Man City and West Ham man. You know the man that literally won Champions League. I've been talking to them, man, innit? So that's why he steered me around for a bit.
Okay, fair enough. Fair
socializing
enough.
With you and Ollie, man. Come on.
Is that how it is? You moved up a level with friends. Okay, all right.
Yeah, man. Me and the Hammer crew. You know. The same crew that probably wants to lynch me from a tree, but yeah, we're talking.
All right, so let's get through a few things on the pod today, gentlemen. I want to speak, we'll get to the fun and games and the comedy club that is Spurs a bit later on, so we'll finish on a bit of a high. And I want to get to you guys as manager of the season candidates, because I don't think it's quite as open and closed as I think some other people do. I want to speak about, I've got a theory as well I want to put to you guys, and I want to get your thoughts on it. So I'm going to get to a theory I've got as well. But first, let's kick off with something that me, G, and Marv and Ollie is not with us this week. We have been chatting about for the last kind of week or two. And it's something I've said before in the pod, the whole subject of racism in football is a subject that I try to avoid unless there are movements or new lines or something new to say. I don't want to just follow the news agenda and just because it's in the news, we talk about it. So I often swerve it, but I want to talk about it now because in the last week, you guys will know we've had a couple of footballers, Wilfried Zaha of Crystal Palace and Ivan Toney, striker for Brentford, who have made some statements in the last kind of week or two regarding taking the knee and where they kind of stand on it. And I want to kick off with you, Joel, because I'll get briefly G's and Marv's view in a minute. I'm aware of them. Out of the four of us, me, Ollie, Marving and G, we're kind of split on what football needs to do and what its responsibilities are in fighting racism within football. I won't tell you who's kind of who's for what, but two of us believe that football can do and should be doing more to fight racism. And the other two believe that you're never going to really fight racism and combat this whole thing until you kind of look at powers beyond football. How can you fix what's inside until you fix everybody else outside of it? And if I'm paraphrasing, I'll come to the gentleman in a minute. But which side of the fence do you sit on in terms of A, how well and whose responsibility it is to fix this problem in football? And secondly, I'll read them out in a minute. What are your views on what Ivan Toney and Wilfried Zaha have had to say in the last week or two? If you haven't read what they've said, I can quote them to you.
Yeah, I mean, read out the quotes anyway, just to kind of add to it. But I think I'll deal with that first.
Go on.
Personal choice. I don't really like being told what to do. If you know me, you know me well. And you know, I like to kind of live life by my own volition, really, and just make my own choices based on the research and what's available for me to come to a decision at. So these guys have done that. Do you know what I mean? They've also towed the line. They clearly felt this way for a while. And I'm assuming they probably made these feelings clear behind closed doors to the powers that be. And they've vocalized that they're not really comfortable engaging in this behavior. They don't see the value in the ongoing gesture. So I guess there's a couple of things that come to mind with that. Where is the value? Has that been ascertained? Is it clear enough so that everybody can see it? And what else are we going to do once that value's been garnered? Where are we going to spend it? Where are we going to instigate change? And I think if there is a if this gesture leads to some kind of mechanism which brings about a tangible change, something people can see as a result of taking the knee, then they might be willing to, you know, be a part of it. But if, as I can probably suspect is the case with these players, they've got to the end of their tether with, well, what's happening? Why are we still doing this? And no one can explain that. And I think that's why they've come out and been as vocal as they've been. It's interesting though, because I guess I throw this out to everybody really, but can anybody else but us instigate this conversation? And I think you all know what I mean when I say that. Because if anybody else outside of the community dares to suggest, then the whole conversation is tinged with a different energy. But if we start it and we have it amongst ourselves and come to a consensus, because for me, that's clearly what's eroding here. The consensus which brought everybody to the point where they were comfortable seeing this knee take place anyway. We've moved on. Things have evolved quickly, you know, and that might confuse others from outside of the community. And that's why I say it's interesting that this discussion has been left to us to have. What I don't want to see happen is now that these two players have been bold enough to step out on a limb, that they become the scapegoats for any discord and any disconnect in the discourse that takes place. And that's what I'd say, because they've been brave to be themselves and they should be allowed to do that. They should be allowed to do that, you know, whether you agree with them or not. And if we don't agree with them, let's have the conversation about that.
I must mention. The first point. Go on, sorry.
And your first question was, can football, I think I've said this on your show before, so I'll keep it brief. I subscribed to the Garth Brooks School of Thought, and it was in 2010, maybe, one of the early anniversaries of Kick It Out. I was interviewing him, and we had a good conversation on and off camera, and he basically said to me at the time that football has to be responsible for football. Sorry about that, I know it's a bit. Football has to be responsible for football. So no matter what the issue is, within the sphere of football, you control it how it needs to be controlled with whatever powers you have at your disposal. So where racism is concerned, there is a whole load to do. There's a whole load that's being done and a whole load that can be done in the future to make sure that, that the scourge of society doesn't enter that sphere. And it will. It will rear its ugly head. It will show its face. But the closer we get to zero tolerance on that within football, the fewer and far between those incidents or that will be. So for me, that's what I think on that issue.
I hear you. It's important that I mention that at the time we're recording this, Crystal Palace 20 minutes ago kicked off their game against Brighton. And I'm just scrolling through Twitter to see if Wilfred Zaha indeed didn't take the knee. And I haven't found anything yet. Which either says that my Twitter feed is slagging and slow, or he did take the knee. His quote, he did an interview on a podcast recently. Some of the quotes from that were, he thinks that we should be standing tall. It's becoming something that we just do now. It feels like we are isolating ourselves from these things that are not working anyway. He's questioned the purpose of taking the knee. Going back to your point, Joel, about what is the value in taking the knee? Why must I even wear Black Lives Matter on the back of my top to show you that we matter? This is all degrading stuff. Growing up, my parents let me know I should be proud to be Black. We should all stand tall. With taking a knee, sometimes people forget that we have to do it. It's becoming something that we just do. That's not enough for me, Gabriel. What do you make?
Joe, just a quick one. He's injured, so he didn't play.
I didn't play today. Okay, cool. Yeah. Gabriel, what did you make of his position and his comments and his stance?
Yeah. See, I don't actually have a problem with anything he said. In these situations, because I think whenever things like this happen, there's always seems to be like opposers or critics. And I always look at it as, are they bringing something productive to the table in their criticism? So I think his critique of what's actually happening is fair. My only reservation with what is that he doesn't seem to have posed a viable solution.
We know what you're not going to do, but what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think as Joel said, he's probably told the line for a little while. And some people don't like this idea of toeing the line. I kind of say that when it comes to kind of like these type of things or making movements or making stands, there's always this tendency to look at what you disagree with. So, you know, I don't agree with the Black Lives Matter mark on the shirt. I think that's against that. Okay. But obviously you agree with equality, and there's probably more that we agree with than we disagree with. So sometimes it is good to get behind these things. So in that sense, if for me, it would be better if all the players were behind it and all that. But if he's kind of put his views, he doesn't think that it's, and he's kind of towed the line for as long as he can tolerate, then he's within his rights to. I would just prefer, and I don't know whether he's done this behind the scenes or not, but I would prefer if he was to speak to the people organizers and say, okay, this isn't working anymore. What's the next stage? Or or let's stop doing this and let's do that. So to be a bit more productive, I agree that, that getting on the knee is starting to become like just a token gesture at the moment. So what's next is really important. But I haven't seen anything from Wilf to say that he's established the what's next or is trying to move forward the what's next. He's just moving out from what's happening at the moment. So I don't regret his opinion, but bring some solutions is what I'd say.
Marvin, I think Joe and G have said, I don't personally care if you are pro taking the knee or not. That's not really the discussion that I'm interested in having. It's a personal choice. Totally agree with that. What I am more interested in is a clear message from black footballers about what they do want and what they can do. Ivan Toney, the Brentford striker, has said that collectively as a club, as have Bournemouth, he was quoted saying, "We have had long discussions about that. Why are we not taking the knee?" He told Sky. "Everyone has had their say and everyone agrees that we have now been taking the lead for however long and nothing's changed. We are kind of being used as puppets in my eyes. Take the knee and the people at the top can rest for a while." I don't know who he means by people at the top, but cool. "Which is pretty silly and pretty pointless. Nothing is changing." My frustration, Marvin, is to what G said. A, what is it that you want? And B, what is it that you're... And how are you trying to enact that sort of thing? Because you're the ones that are facing the racism at the brunt of it. It's not enough for me to kind of pull away. What's your position on the line of solutions?
Yeah, and to be clear, you know what I'm like, so I just speak my mind, right? I 100% agree with Tony and Zaha. It was just becoming a bit of a lip service. And I think personally... I think we spoke about it maybe a year ago, just after George Floyd's death, and there was all this Black Lives Matter. There was a change, right? I felt like there was momentum. I felt like things were happening. And my biggest concern was that it would dissipate, quell down, quiet down, go away. And from a personal standpoint, I think that's what's happened. I think companies have made the lip service, you know, appoint a few black people to the board, or, you know, put in diversity and inclusion training within their companies. But ultimately, I feel like the momentum's gone. And I feel like it's now, I do feel like taking the knee is a bit hollow. I definitely take your point from you and G that they need to stand up and say, all right, if they're not going to take the knee, what do they want? And I don't know why they're not bullish with it, right? I think if they really want to see, I think Joel talked about, you know, zero tolerance, and it's been zero tolerance for a while, right? If you get done for racism in the crowd, right, then you get banned, right? But I've been in the crowd, I've witnessed racism. Lots of people don't always speak up. Really, you only get caught if it's like blatantly on camera when you're on the touchline. And it's been that way for a while. I think realistically, if I'm them, I think what they would want to say is it's got to be at the club's level, right? It's got to be, you know, no fans. That's not really going to work now. Or it's got to be docked points or whatever. Or it's got to be the removal from competitions. If that's how they really push it. But I think to the point you made earlier, this is why I always say that football is fruit from the poisonous tree, right? And I take Joel's point about Garth Crooks and, you know, football's got a martial football, and obviously football can't change the world. I think the point that I've always tried to make is I'm not expecting football to change the world. But what I am saying is if you think football can marshal itself while the world is still the way it is, you're just going to be fighting an uphill battle, right? So as long as we have people who have said openly racist things running the country, I'm not anticipating any change anytime soon.
So guys, what do we think needs to happen from here on in? Because if the vibe seems to be that taking the knee is not happening anymore, more and more clubs are deciding they're not going to take it, does that almost absolve football? And I'm disclosure, I was never pro taking the knee from the get-go. I think we're past gestures. So I was never actually in favor of it.
Yeah.
But I do feel like by not taking the knee, does this now just dissipate now into the ether? The announcement today that fans are going to be back in the grounds, hopefully, what is it? End of April, they're talking about now.
10,000.
Yeah,
which is basically so, Stamford Bridge's capacity, isn't
it? I think it is. So you know, as that becomes a story for the summer with the Euros, are we going to be here in September, October, and the narrative about fighting racism is going to be just off the table completely? I'm saying if people aren't taking the knee anymore, I'm not necessarily anti. I'm not against that. But what needs to happen now? My solution is stop playing. So I'm going one step further than walk off the pitch. I'm talking about don't walk on the pitch. I only see that as a solution to really make the people that run the game really understand that this needs to stop now. And I want to hear from the three of you just briefly. Give me some actionable solutions as to how we can fix this. And Marvin, maybe you feel like it can't be fixed until society is fixed.
George, but George, it's funny you should say that, because to Tony's point and the quote that you read out, right? What he said, I agree with. And you said you don't know who they are, right? I think they are the head of the Premier League, the head of the FA, a lot of which we've seen racism from the
But Mark, sorry to cut you. Is it the FA talking about? Is it Twitter he's talking about? Is it society?
I personally think he was specifically talking about the governing bodies within football.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And let's be clear, right? We've seen especially at a UEFA level, at a FIFA level, we've seen nonsense fines for open racism, stuff that, you know, is literally a drop in the ocean for some of these football associations. And actually, what I found, the bit of his quote that I found most poignant was when he talked about it's like, for those powers that be, the fact that they've got players taking a knee is a box ticked, right? If the players push back and say, we don't really think it's ticking the box, then instantly they've got to rethink of something, because they still want to be seen to look like they're trying, right? The minute you take away that piece of lip service, which I think he's now saying taking the knee is, they've got a slightly different problem on their hands, right? Because if the very people that you claim to be representing do not think the action that you're recommending is having an effect, then you need to go back to the drawing board and come up with something else, which might be the more radical solutions we're going to talk about now, George. Do you understand? So it hurts them as well. Do you know what I mean? Because now they're going to have to think, well, I think there'll be pressure on them if they just say, all right, well, the blacks don't want to take the knee, so, you know, we've tried our bit, see you later. I think they'll just come under more pressure. But I take the point that the black players need to be more vocal. Whether they say, I'm not taking the pitch at all, is an interesting dynamic, but I can't see them going that far.
No, right? Me neither.
And to your point about, I'm not saying that football don't has. I'm not saying football doesn't have a duty of care to football, George. Football should marshal police and discipline people for acts of racism. I think the point I'm trying to make is, and I'm only looking at the UK, right? I'm not going to talk for other countries. It's not my place to talk about other countries and how they marshal it. But let's have it right, right? The person who resides in Downing Street, number 10, was elected by the UK public, and he has said things blatantly racist. And the UK public still thought that that is the person that should run the country. And for me, that's the best type of barometer you're ever going to find, to say that, generally speaking, the UK is as racist as it's ever been, right? And until there is change at that level, i.e. the level of the people making laws and passing judgments for the UK public, then I think football is, as I said, is just a product of what we're seeing in Parliament, right? So I can't in good faith tell you, like, let me tell you, George, whether people are taking the knee or not, as soon as fans get back in the stadium, you're going to see racism, right? And what they'll do is they'll ban that one man, someone else will be racist, because it's a product of the environment we live
in. So let me move to GG. I know that you agree with that school of thought. Yep. So why is that problem not happening in tennis?
You've just got, it is happening in tennis, first off. It's just a different demographic of fans. Tennis people that go to watch maybe tennis or cricket tend to be just maybe a little bit more civilized than football.
I don't know about that. I've been to some cricket matches, G, and other sport.
That point is wrong, though, because you're saying I think you're talking about two different sports. You're saying, why are we not seeing that in tennis? And then you went to cricket. In cricket, you're seeing racism.
I could name any sport. I've not seen a banana at Lords.
Jude, in cricket, trust me, particularly when Asians and black people go to Australia, you are seeing racism.
You've moved country, as you said. Okay. Let's keep it here. Let me be more specific, because you're kind of right.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the overt racism. Mm-hmm. Nobody is putting up banners at Wimbledon saying, Serena Williams, get out our country. Nobody at Twickenham is yelling at Maro Itoje, you dark-skinned black FFF. No one's doing that. Now, that's not me saying that there's not racism at Twickenham, but what I'm saying is those rugby fans pattern themselves properly. No matter how racist they are, they know when they walk into Twickenham, when they walk into Lords, when they walk into Wembley Arena for a boxing fight, you better keep that racism in your head. We can't control what's in your head, but what we can control is what you say. Football is not doing that. So let me throw it to G. Why is, if Marvin's right and the majority of the country voted for a racist prime minister, why are those same people who also go to other sporting events not overtly abusing those athletes?
Jordan, I still maintain what I say to a certain extent. There is definitely a class thing in terms of who goes to sports. But also, I challenge the point that kind of overt racism is not worse than covert racism. So I think when we talked about this before...
One of them you can control, the other one you probably can't. So I'm saying control the controllables.
Well, I'd say one is more damaging and one is less damaging. Because if you ask me, is it more problematic that I'd be profiled entering a sporting arena than someone shouting at me? Who can tell? Is it more problematic that I can't, that I won't be able to get a job at the highest level at the ECB or at tennis, when it is that I wouldn't, then someone will be racially abused? What's more problematic?
I'm saying in terms of the watching view in public, I'm saying fight the battles one at a time. And the first battle we need to fight is to make sure that if you're a racist and you walk into Stamford Bridge or the Emirates or Old Trafford or Upton Park, wherever they're playing now, the first thing needs to be that you're walking into an environment where you're with members of the public. We don't tolerate racist abuse. You can't scream certain things. That's the first thing. We haven't even got to. Forget the Twitter fight. Forget the manager fight. I'm just starting at the bottom. I'm starting at the base.
But I guess, George, that's maybe where we disagree in terms of what's the biggest thing. For me, the biggest thing is would I have an equal opportunity to get a job at a company? Will I be treated fairly in an organization more broadly? I'm not so worried about what the idiots do. I know that is probably quite dismissive of the problem, and that I say that because we're talking on our platform. If I want another platform, I wouldn't say that. But what I'm saying is, for me, the biggest issue is the institutional racism. I am not so concerned with the, because at the end of the day, if you ban people from doing it in the stadium, they'll get out the stadium and do it.
But then that's not football's problem. That's not football, as Marvin said, and I agree. It's not football's job to fix racism in society. Football can lean on it. Football's not what you do in your home. You can call Jordan Jarrett Bryan from TalkSport Channel 4 News, that black so-and-so, he's a rubbish presenter, rubbish journalist, black lips, big lips, all that. I can't control what you say in your house or in your car. But what I can control, if I'm football, is what happens in our arena.
George, honestly, I'd rather know I was sitting next to a racist than him holding his mouth.
In normal lives, I agree with you, but not in if we're in a football game, and that's what I'm talking about. If football is an environment that we should be all be equal, I agree with you in principle. I'd much rather know if you don't like me because I'm black in normal life. But let me go to Joel now. I'm talking about within the confines of sport and within football, there needs to be an acceptance that when you come into this environment, you can't say them sort of things. Give me a solution.
Yeah, I mean, yo, it's a lot in it. And relax, bro. I can tell you like debate this quite regularly. It's, you know, for me, it's interesting to listen to what you're saying. Listen to what you're saying, because I hear so many different things that almost are they're conflating the issue, and it's not really that. Like, they're just talking about football, right? So, I think that the notion of wanting to know who you're next to being racist or not racist, as opposed to them coming in and being able to shout all obscenities and you not caring about that, in the space, I'm sorry, but I want to take my son to the football match. And I don't want that behavior. And I want everybody, no matter what they think of black people or whatever they think, I want them to know that in this space, you behave yourself. Yeah. And when you come out of there, you can do what you like. And that's what so I'm not conflating the issue about where the value is on which one's worse.
Yeah.
I'm just saying in this space, that's not tolerated. Right. And I actually don't care what, you know, whether they're racist or not. I don't care. So, and it plays into what Marcus was saying. It's Marcus, right?
Marvin
was saying about this country and Boris. There weren't much of a choice, and to relegate them choosing who they did based on that alone, speaking, yeah, it speaks, but there was a lot of other things going on as well. They smashed through the red wall up in the north of England. Nothing to do with racism, my friend. You feel me? So he won on a number of factors. So let's not conflate the issue. While it speaks, it doesn't lend itself to this discussion in that greater detail for me. Not to that extent.
No, you know what? I hear the point, right? And I hear the opposition and, you know, the way the campaign was run, yeah? But almost by you saying that, it's a way of conflating it, right? Because if we forget everything else, right? And you talk about just racism, right?
Yeah.
And you're talking about racism, and let's call it a micro level, because football is just one chasm of society, yeah, right? Uh-huh. I get it, right? Like Boris might have won, even if Boris would have won probably by more votes if he didn't say racist stuff. But what I'm essentially saying is it's about a product of the environment, right? So if football, I almost feel like Boris, another way to look at it is Boris almost gives football some air cover, right? Because they can essentially say, look, the country's not perfect. I mean, we got this guy calling people letterboxes and picking any smiles and all that sort of thing. So we're doing our best. You know what I mean? We're banning people. We're doing all of that. But you can see there's from top to bottom, this country has a long way to go. So I'm only taking the racism piece in isolation by defining the fact that, you know, for everyone, like, and I think the reason why a lot of the debates has come up is because other people, Jord, Ollie, have just been so passionate about football stomping it out, which I'm cool with, right? I'm absolutely cool. But if you look under the hood and you think about Kick It Out, the way that that's financed, the power that they have, for me, I feel like football are doing enough to look like they're trying, but that's they fine. Don't have to because the country fine. Overall is broken.
Yeah.
No, that
Joel, you know what?
And just to make myself clear, there were so many instances, and especially working in the black press, I see this happen all the time, where people talk about things as if they are separate from and not a part of. Obviously, yeah. Yeah? So I understand the sentiment that you're expressing. It's part of it. So there's no way to just simply draw a brick wall and say, well, it's not going to climb over or seep through the bricks or whatever. It's going to have a place in it. I'm talking about while you're in the space, that almost the zero tolerance or the intolerance to the intolerance, right? It doesn't even mirror what goes on outside in the real world. In fact, it may even seem hyper excessive, but that's what it takes to keep that space in the way that we deem the utopia that we all want. So for me, that's kind of what I'm expressing in terms of football being responsible for football. Nothing's going to be perfect because there is no such thing. In fact, the only perfect thing is imperfection, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, we're striving for a better
Let me just do that for a second. The only perfect thing is imperfection.
Yeah, just start that.
Okay, go on.
Sorry, what I was gonna say, the thing is, Joe, and you know what, I do hear you about you know wanting to take your kid and like I totally get the point. But the main thing is, for me, it's about fighting the biggest battles. I think the biggest battle is getting people in the boardrooms, getting people fair opportunities. And then I think you have more of a chance of overcoming these type of issues once we have people at the table. So for me, it's not so much. And I think, as kind of Marv has alluded to as well, it's kind of this situation where we keep on fighting these small battles, and the people who we should be fighting the big battles are sitting back and thinking, oh, thank God they're arguing over a patch on a T-shirt.
I think that's
fair. We have to do something real important about it. And that's why I say just focus. So maybe I was a little crass, but I think we just need to focus our energy on where the real change will come. I don't like, you know, someone shouting something, you know, I could get over that. I can't get over it.
And I suppose, kind of just to wrap this now, I suppose what we can agree on is it shouldn't be an either or. We should be looking to fight one fight. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't have to be an either
or. But we seem to fight the abuse fight biggest. That's my main issue.
I think that gets the loudest noise because there are people I know who are fighting that other fight. What we're essentially coming to, and this is why discourse is necessary, is a consensus on this is multifaceted, right? There are levels to the fight, and there are degrees of attention that need to be paid to the different elements, and maybe sometimes it's skewed towards one thing, but I don't necessarily think some of the other things that maybe you're alluding to, G, get the coverage. They're a little bit like the Financial Times; they just don't sell like the sun. It just is what it is.
Yeah.
Or certain people want to suppress it. Certain people don't want to put a highlight on those type of
things. And that's another fight in itself, my brother. I said the team's multifaceted.
Indeed. I just want footballers now to have a very clear, coherent idea of what they want. I'm just hearing too much people talking about what they don't want. This is not working. And I think they are the people more than anybody else in a position to actually be very clear about, no, this needs to change and this is how we're going to do it. Just some leadership. But
I want this on the radical thing. I want the Premier League clubs to link up with the Metropolitan Police and implement LFR.
LFR?
Yeah, life facial recognition. I think if the police can afford it, the Premier League clubs can afford it, and they should all have it. And then we'll do away with all this rubbish of the steward was too scared to eject the person who was racist. We live in a world where they're talking about having electronic line judges at tennis matches, but getting rid of them, right? Hawkeye doing their job. That's where we are. So if that's the case, take this Hawkeye technology, team it up with LFR that the police have been using for how many years? And a long time before we even know if it was legal or not. And implement it in the stadiums. Mm. If you really want to catch who's doing what, then give your steward some kind of technology that allows them to identify these people without actually exposing that it was them that did it. But make it be the stewards that do it, though. Not just any TDNH. So we're talking radical things that can be implemented. There you go, Dre.
Okay, I'll take it. Gabriel, manager of the year, who's your front runner so far?
Oh, man. I'm looking at either Pep or Moyes. Mm-hmm. Kind of leaning toward Moyes just because of the bad time he's had before at United and stuff, and the fact that he's been able to reinvent himself. But I shuddered inside when you asked that question because, like, I just...
Oh, it won't be Frank.
Well, I mean, first thing, it won't be Frank. It won't be Mikel either. But I just...
one's got a chance of winning.
No. Neither of them got a chance of winning.
I mean, I want to be very clear. It's very, 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 very slim, but one can win it.
No.
He's not lying.
With Frank's friend in the media, he's probably got more chances of winning it.
You know what? You're right. Actually, I'll take it back.
But I just think in April we could be having a completely different conversation.
I only ask now because it's about now that they start to kind of that chat begins. I know we're still a month behind normal times or ahead behind normal times. So let me go around. Go on, G. Finish.
Yeah, go on. Now, I'm gonna say it's just such a crazy season. It's just I think all types of awards should just be left to the end of the season now.
Okay.
I just think you just end up looking silly.
Looking stupid. Marvin?
Otherwise.
I'm torn between Dean Smith and Moisey, to be fair. I mean, if you think about...
Why'd you actually give it to Moisey, bruv?
I'm not like you, man. I'm not a biased guy when it comes to managers. Do you know what I mean? I just see the truth. Do you know what I mean? You just spent 20 seconds saying Frank still got a chance. If that ain't biased, I don't know what is. Look, bottom line is, right, Moisey's at West Ham. West Ham are, as far as I'm concerned, relegation favourites every season. They're in the Champions League spot right now. He's making Jesse Lingard look good. You've got to give credit where it's due right here, right? People like Suchek have come in. Reminds me a bit of Michu, you know, when they just did a good season for, you know. So you can't knock it, right? West Ham are overperforming. Villa were literally surviving on the day of the last season, right? And now they're giving everyone a game, got a stellar defensive record. And then there is Pep, but you know what I'm like. Pep's boring. Pep's got all the resources at his disposal. Man City winning it wouldn't surprise anyone, right?
So let me come back to that. Joe, let me just get who's your shout first of all?
Do you know what? Dean, I think Dean at Villa. I agree with Marvin. I think if Moise does what he's doing and they finish anywhere near where they are now, that's a great job, man. It's a great turnaround. You know what it is? The team he's built. And the fact they're playing with him. They kicked in when he was away, though, didn't he? He had a bout of COVID and then it all started from there, didn't it? They got their act together. And I think he's come back and whatever they did when he was away, he asked them and they told him. So he stopped doing that now and they're a better unit for it. I think Blessy Lingard, and I call him Blessy. I've always called him Blessy because I think he is blessed, you know? I think that's a good acquisition, good timing. He knows the boy, doesn't he? So I think you could see... I know we're going to get onto it, but you could see there was a nice spirit between him and the tank up front for West Ham. What's his name?
Antonio.
He's always a problem, that one.
Yeah, he loves you.
No, he's a problem. Most for everything. And I'm not just talking about the grass, you know, but he him and Blessy were linked up nicely. And I just think that's good momentum for him at this point of the season, you know? So... Him, and do you know what? Who else I like? He can't get it. I know he can't get it, but and you know, people might think it's a bit weird, but I think if he gets the time, will come good. Ruff down at Southampton, I think he's done a good job down in.
No, I can't have that. I can't have that. I'm throwing that one right out the back, Joe.
I think
like him. I'm a big fan of his, but come on.
I think he's half a season away from getting it right. So I hope the rest of the you know, the
he's
year...
had, he's had some bad injuries, and I kind of am with Joe because he was looking at Sack's door for a bit, early doors, right? He's turned it around, but no team that gets packed out by a Man United 9-0. You can't be in the convo. I know they had nine men, 10 men, whatever, but you can't get packed out by Man United.
So for me, there's four candidates. There's Pep, there's Moyes, there's Dean Smith. I'll throw another one in that I think should be a candidate. If he keeps Fulham up, I think Scott Parker should be in the mix. If he keeps Fulham up, I think he should be heavily considered. But I do think it's between Pep and Moyes. And I'll tell you why. I'll just give my reasons why. I think Moyes can only win it if they come top four. I think if West Ham come top four, I think that's the best job this season. I would lean towards Pep. Marvin mentioned the resources that he's got and it's very boring. But the reason why I would give it to Pep at this stage is, one, they're going to win the league and potentially by a big point, but not even for that. The coaching he's done of players like Stones and Foden, I think deserves mad credit. He's won the league with no striker pretty much all season. That deserves credit. KDB's missed, I think it will work out to be almost a quarter of the season. That deserves credit. Look at their defensive record in terms of clean sheets. It's stupid. They've kept an insane amount of clean sheets. That, I think, is down to coaching in a really messed up year. I think that at the moment, Pep Guardiola is the front runner. And I know people will say, he's got all the money. They should win the league. But he was humiliated last year. Let's have it right. Liverpool won the title by Christmas. And Lyon knocked them out of the Champions League. And for them to kind of bounce back and win, at worst, a double... At best, it could be a quadruple. Right. I think only Moyes can stop Pep.
He's now, Jordan. I mean, like, we're still in the FA Cup, you know. We're not just going to.
That's why I said they could win a quadruple.
No, we're not just going to go and donate it to them.
That's the. That's why.
Yeah, Jordan. The thing is, everything you say, I totally agree with. Right, but I think that everything you said, you could look for a counterpoint and almost back up the point I made. So, as an example. When you talk about their defensive record, right? They just went out and bought a defender for crazy money, right? He's done well, but he has that money at his disposal. Everything, and you know, Foden, they call, like, for
but
City,
recruitment's still called, important. They've spent mad
recruitment
money.
Is important, but it's not just before. Pep doing recruitment. Pep's got a massive team. Pep's probably got more people looking at just recruitment than West Ham and Villa have got. Coaching staff combined, right? I'm not saying it's not good, but also I always get a bit annoyed when people talk about how they're winning it by a canter, right? Like Liverpool last year and City this year. The other teams are shit, right? Like the biggest competition is Liverpool, right? Look at their season. They're imploding in front of our very eyes, which I like, right? And I'm not, like, let's be clear. I'm not doubting what you're saying, but for everything you said about KDB not being about, they've got the depth there, right? To your point, Foden's coming through. They've got Bernardo Silva. They've got man there, right? And I take the point about not having a striker, but Pep's been doing false number nines. Pep made false number nines, right? Like,
yeah, but he shouldn't be penalised for that.
He shouldn't be penalised for it, but I'm talking of a body of work of a season, and a lot of what you're talking about is either not new or paid for by money, right? So, I can't convey enough. And the thing is, the more I talk about it, the more I'm actually going to Dean Smith, right? Because I thought Villa were down. I put money on them going down.
Dean Smith's got to get top six to get that award. His job, what he's doing at the moment, is not more impressive than David Moyes.
Yeah, I hear that. And I think, I'm kind of being hypocritical because it is Moyesy, so I still feel a bit uncomfortable. But I actually think, and mark my words, I will say Villa will finish higher than West Ham at the end of the year.
Ooh.
And I don't know where that's going to be.
They've got like 7 games in hand or something stupid, isn't it, at the moment?
Well, it's not even that, right? Like, and the thing is, it could have been so different. They get relegated, someone else buys Grealish and things change, right? But right now, for what they're doing, and even when you talk about acquisition, I think, although he was terrible in the last game, Barkley was a very good acquisition. I'm the first person to hold up my hand, and I can't see why anyone rates Minks. I just don't like Tyrone Minks, right? But he's playing good. Even like little people that you don't really know, like Matty Cash and like the Trezeguet.
Their fullback target has been brilliant this year.
Yeah, so I mean, credit where it's due. I mean, for me, a manager of the season is somebody, in my opinion, and take it at its worst, Jordan, is overachieving. You know, doing things that weren't expected, surpassing by quite a considerable distance what has been expected of you. And if you look at the odds at the beginning of the season, City would have been second favourite to win the league, right? Now, quadruple is great, but I think you're talking about manager of the season. I always think we're just talking about the Premier League, right? And I think you're right. I think we're basic fans, basic supporters, basic journalism. So whoever wins the league usually wins it, right? But you can't knock Moyesy and Smith on it.
Just finally on this one, if Brendan Rodgers finishes second, should he win it?
No. Wow. I mean, it's harsh. And I guess you could say I would put him just below Dean Smith, even if he came second. Because I look at, Villa stayed up by the skin of their teeth.
Yeah, but West Ham and West Ham. You think Dean Smith's doing a better job than David Moyes?
No, I don't think he is. I'm saying then you said compared him to...
Oh, but you said second behind Dean Smith, no?
No, I said I would put him behind in that second tier behind Dean Smith. But he's done a good job. Maybe he's a victim of his own success where we expect it. But I don't think this is not out of whack for what Leicester can achieve.
And second?
Yeah. Okay.
Come on, Chief.
At the moment, it's not out of whack. And they won't finish second anyway. They'll probably finish where they finished last year because they'll drop off. So nah. I don't like Rodgers. He said some shit about Chelsea. So. There you go. The truth comes out.
I'm gonna say took a while to get there, but we got there in the end.
Funny thing is, I could hear G's mind ticking, and he just thought, oh, "I'm just gonna come clean, man. I ain't the guy. He's a prick."
But you know what, Jordan? It's all relative, isn't it? Because it's funny. We can sit here and say it's a shit season, and then be talking about manager of the year and be giving it to Moyes for what he's doing to West Ham and all the rest of it for whatever reason. If he finishes top four now. And you look at like a man like Nuno Espirito Santo, and you think about what he's achieved at Wolves successively, right? In successive seasons, given where they came from, right?
Mm.
But then you think about who was winning the league that season, and it's mad, isn't it? Because he didn't really get the love that he would. Because if he was doing what he was doing with that team this year, he'd be in the conversation, isn't it? And he should have been in the conversation years gone by. It's just that Liverpool's and Man City's
did a madness, yeah.
Most entertaining manager for me is actually Bielsa, man. I love watching Leeds play, right? They're either going to pack someone out or get packed. Like, they're fun to watch. But because they constantly get packed, you can't give it to him. I mean, anyone that gets beat by Man United 6-2. I'm one of those people.
Even we beat them.
yeah, so...
You know what? Give his translator an award as well. Usually I hate translators, but he's doing the thing.
But George, one thing I will say, and I know you're wrapping this topic, is Scott Parker's nowhere near the conversation for me. I just want to be very clear.
I think he's in the conversation.
He's nowhere in the conversation, but I almost think it's a moot point from my perspective because you said if he keeps them up,
yeah,
and they will go down.
Reward his mediocrity.
Yeah, and they'll probably get the Chelsea job if Tuchel doesn't work out. Right? He played for them. He's English. That's pretty much what
the media love him as well.
Give Chelsea one more transfer ban. We could see Scott Parker at Chelsea. You never know.
Right, guys. I've got a theory. I'm gonna put to you very briefly, and we'll get to Spurs and have some fun.
Joel,
it's not the Arsenal week, all right?
It's not Joel, what you realise is it's never the Arsenal week, bro.
Hang on a minute. To be fair, the last time you were on the pod, I specifically invited you on when you were top of the league. So, and you mentioned that. Yeah. So let's be fair. I don't only call you on when you're whack. It just so it happens most of the time you're whack. So.
All right, Jay. I'm just saying, every week this season is Arsenal week. That's all I'm saying.
Basically, I don't know if there's a leap year confusion or what's going on, but I've never seen an Arsenal week. I've never seen it.
We'll do it next week, all right? We'll do it next week, yeah?
Wait, I'm 55 weeks in the year. I don't know how many weeks in the year, but whatever week, I'm missing that.
So I've got a brief theory I want to put to you guys and get your views on very briefly. This weekend was the Merseyside derby. And whenever there's a derby, you often hear this kind of phrase that gets thrown out. It's a derby. The form book's out the window. Anything can happen. I think it's time we started ending this myth around the derby element being important in the result of that particular game. This first came to mind when Arsenal played Spurs early in the season. And people trying to put together an argument as to why Arsenal could win the game would say something like, it's what I call Sky Sports cliche. It's a derby. You know, Arsenal got a chance. Arsenal had no chance. They were never going to win that game. But my point is this. The whole element of a derby is based off of 100 years ago when you had a core makeup of the team that were from that particular region. Therefore, when that team played their local rivals, that fixture meant more to them than all the other fixtures. And I'm just wondering, in an era where Jack Grealish, Saka at Arsenal, Kane at United, Spurs, Rashford at United, you don't have many players that play for their homegrown club. I don't think the idea of form going out the window and the derby plays a role in the result of the game. What I think is we should treat those games like any other game, in the sense that if Arsenal were to beat Spurs on that day, it wouldn't be because it's a derby. It would just be a shock. In the same way that if Burnley tomorrow beat Man City, there's no derby element there. It's just a shock. So I want to just briefly here, let me start with you, Marvin. Do you think that the whole it's a derby, anything can happen, is still relevant? It's just one team's in form, one team's not in form. If the in-form team loses to the out-of-form team, that's just a shock. The derby element doesn't play a factor or role. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, 100% know what you're trying to say. I think there's two points to it, right? The first point is, it's your industry that create that narrative, right?
Like, no, it is.
The derby narrative is, oh, like even me, I might go, oh, Villa Wolves, you know, Midlands Derby. I'll have a look at that because there is a context of there's going to be more passion. I think personally, it's less about where the players are from. And you're speaking to a guy who was once watching Man United Liverpool, and a Man United fan was calling Jonanarisa a scouse so-and-so for a foul on Wayne Rooney. So that's the sort of irony you're witnessing with the fans here, right? For me, it's always been about where the fans are from. It's about bragging rights down the local pub. You kind of like, you look at the Old Firm and that being a good thing, right? Like, Rangers and Celtic people on a non-football day might drink in the same pub and they might be friends outside of football, but when football comes, the battle lines are drawn. And I've been like that. I mean, when I still lived at home with my parents, so, you know, I don't know if people know this and I'm ashamed to say it out loud, but my dad's an Arsenal fan, right? And my mum used to demand that I go somewhere else to watch Man United Arsenal because in the house, it was a derby. Like, someone was going to swear and say stuff that would mean that they had to go to their room, right? So, like, for me, I think it's less about players' origin. And I take your point, right? It's more, especially if those teams are now really far apart, right? And there's been times when Arsenal were contesting for the title and Spurs. You know, below in the mid-table area. So a Spurs win would be against the form book and anything can happen. So I totally take your point, but I still think that, especially if the fans are in the stadium, Joel, there's still a bit of passion and fire.
Let me be clear, Joel. I'm not saying we shouldn't use the term derby anymore, because a derby is basically a regional fixture between two teams that are geographically...
Well, no one gets the Palace-Brighton one.
It's a weird one. It's a weird one. But sometimes it's not just geographical, it's historical. But yeah. My point is not to scrap the term a derby game. It's still a derby game. My point is putting the emphasis on that being relevant to who wins the game.
It is a game though, isn't it, Jay? You know what I mean? And I think the more fun elements you can add to it, the better. So I think that's just another element of fun. Because otherwise...
It's the packaging, is that what you're saying?
Why are we tweeting North London's white or red or blue or whatever the...
Claret
hell
blue,
colour.
You know,
that one too. So for me, it's just adding that element. In this time, like, because you're right, you know, the fans are all over the world. The sport's a bit more global now. You know, everyone understands the sentiment of having been born within a mile of the Bow Bells to be Cockney, to be a proper Cockney, you know. But there are a lot more people that talk Cockney that weren't born within a mile of the Bow Bells. So the historical context doesn't apply in the same way it once did. It doesn't erode the sentiment that surrounds the game. And I think it's a bit of fun, added extra, keeps the banter going. And quite frankly, I think it does have an impact on the game, because if you're a London club, you've got six of those this year. That's a lot of points. So yeah, I think it does have an impact beyond just, you know, it's called a derby and this emphasis is put on it.
I don't think it does. Let me just kind of finish with G. I don't want to sound xenophobic and make out like if you're a foreigner, the North London derby, you don't get it, because Henri got it. Plenty of Tottenham players that weren't from this country. So I don't think it's about... The players and being English or being from that region. That's not my main point. My point is that I just think when I hear the phrase, the form book goes out the window, I think to myself, well, A, no, it doesn't. Spurs, well, then, were better, significantly better than Arsenal. If Arsenal were to win that game, it would just be a shock, in the same way that, like I said, now, if Burnley were to beat Man City, on the day, Burnley were just better. Do you think that there's still a relevance in the derby element? Do you think players still think the derby?
Can't it be a shock? Yeah. And the fact that, can't it be both?
Jordan, honestly,
I think most players now, after the game, think, oh, we lost the Manchester derby. Oh, going to work tomorrow is going to be...
That's different. Like, we've talked about it before. Like, players just ain't got the heart like we're used to anymore, right? And you've seen it. People like Roy Keane have spoken about how people laugh and joke as they've come off the pitch, right? I think one of the bits that I am going to ride with you and back you 100% is that players... mercenary is the wrong term, but players see football much more as a game that they do and go home and look after their family, right? Like, you hear more and more stories of players just going, I don't even really like playing football. I'm just good at it, and it pays the bills. Whereas I think in times gone past, it was heart on the sleeve.
It was everything.
I remember Butcher with his head wrapped up, like, it was all in. And when you lost, you just got off the pitch. There was no laughing. There was no joking. Even if it was like the Nevilles playing each other, Man United, Everton, right? It wasn't, I'll see you at Mum's for dinner after. It was, at this period in time,
Don't talk to me.
Yeah. Mm. And that's slightly different. Like, footballers just, they don't give us the passion we want. We'll never see the Arsenal tunnel like Keane and Vieira again, George. That will never happen.
Mm.
You can't say never
because you don't know where a player's coming from.
I'm telling you, Cristiano Ronaldo, the passion that you saw in that tunnel, you ain't seeing it. I'm being a bit absolute, yeah, but what I'm saying is you're less likely to see it.
I think players have been watered down, but I don't think to that, because you know the game's gonna change, man. Players are gonna come from a different place and be just stunning. You know, you're gonna find another Cristiano Ronaldo. He wanted to be the player he is now when he was 18. Anybody who knew or watched him or played alongside him. So that's something different, isn't it? Look at the players who were great when he was 18, 19.
Yeah, and the thing is, I'm probably the worst person to talk about it, right? Because if I don't see goals, I love a scrap on the pitch. I love a fight. I love to just see some passion. I mean, no one spoke about it and people always give me a hard time about it, but there was just a little flashpoint in the Man United Newcastle game.
Harry Maguire
there was one with Matic and Lascelles, where Lascelles was, don't pat me on the head, and Matic was just patting him on the head like a boy, like, what are you going to do? But there was a push between Bruno Fernandes and someone else, and Fred came up and just pushed them back, and he was like, no, you're not going to speak to our talisman. I love all of that. You know what I mean? I love it. Man. Like,
We all do.
People think it's unprofessional. No.
Marvin really loves it. Marvin
George
loves
say
it.
It's unprofessional. Like, Joe,
I like it too.
Remember,
we want to see some of that as well.
Yeah, and like, and then you know, Gomez and Sterling, right? When they had that little bit where Gomez just picked him up like a little baby. And then we read it that in the in England camp, when people were getting their lunch, Sterling was still about it. Like, what are you saying now? You get me? What are you saying now? I loved it. Like, don't let it lie if you're not happy. If you're not cool about it, don't be fake about
it.
And I think that's evidence.
Bitch, don't let him mess up your money, though. That
even better to do it.
Marvin don't care. Joe, Marvin don't care.
Let me be clear. Don't let it mess up your money. What you mean by not messing up your money, you're saying don't mean you get sacked as a footballer, i.e. like call your bridges to shoot a man.
No, I'm not having it in the canteen. If it's a minor fine,
Joe, eat the fine for your respect, man. You can't put a price on respect, Joe.
I'm here for the money.
Yeah, Joe, do you think, what do you think happened to Sterling? He got dashed from the squad one day, what, a minor appearance fee, but Gomez knew that day. I don't care if it's on the pitch, I don't care if it's in the canteen. If it's going to go that way, I'm about it.
Well, you should have done it.
You've got to have your respect.
I'm saying he could have delivered that message anyway, but it just didn't have to be in the canteen. That's what I'm saying.
Look, on site. What do you think the term on site means, Joe? That was the first time. It's on site.
It meant on the pitch on that day.
No. It meant on site. Like, if me and G's got beef, yeah? And then we go to a mutual friend's birthday party, and it's all like, cool. And then about a week later, when I see G on him, by himself, I'm going to be on it. G's well within his rights to say to me, but look, you saw me in the party, you weren't saying nothing then, innit? What, you weren't feeling brave then? It's on site. That means it's still in my heart, so it's going to come out when I see you.
There's something wrong with you. Something wrong with you, man.
I'm about billions, but not like
80,
you know what I mean?
Bear in mind, all right, last point, Joe. Let me tell you, Raheem Sterling played for Liverpool and Man City. He also played for QPR, but that's irrelevant. Two of the teams I hate the most, I love the guy. from that game. I love him. And Joe, it's not even
Joe, he loves him because of that.
just because he had it, yeah?
Well, look, the way he fight, the way he stood up against racism is not to be ignored. I appreciated it. But after that, I was like, you know what?
Yeah. Sorry, G, go on, finish your point.
You know what? I can't even remember what you asked.
You know what? Let's...
To what you're saying, I think you're reaching a little. I think that the dynamic has changed, but I think it's still there. And what the guys just talked about, the Liverpool and City, it's a new rivalry. It's not traditionally a rivalry, yeah. But the fact that they're competing, there is a little bit of geography.
No. Call it a rivalry. I'm not. There are rivalries and there are derbies. I'm not for that. I'm just saying, don't place emphasis on the fact that it's a derby or a rivalry, on the result.
But I think
it's just a game that one team lost, one team won.
The extra motivation that you can get for the fact that it's a derby can influence the result.
Liverpool weren't motivated. They got slapped 4-1 the other day. Where was the motivation that day? That's a rivalry.
Yeah. The motivation was on Everton's side.
No, I mean the Man City game. The
Man City game. Yeah.
They got slapped 4-1.
Let's be clear. They get slapped quite a bit. So it's hard. They did have a party according to
City had the motivation. City have had to watch Liverpool win the league back to back and being told they're the second best team for ages.
I guess my point though is that if that was a rivalry and a derby of some form, you're going to lose a title. You don't let City come to your house and slap you 4-1. That's the game you're up for.
Surely. But you think of other games where you think of United, when United beat City 3-2, on where City were on the way to win the, they had no chance of winning it, and out of half time, they just came out of nowhere and came back. It happened. We got slapped up by Spurs.
I mean that's probably the catalyst for us to be playing decent football.
Probably, yeah. Well, speaking of Spurs, let's just kind of wrap up with Spurs. wrap it up is probably the right term. What's going on, Joel? It's a shame because I wanted Ollie on the pod tonight as well, because I know you guys are both like the henchmen for Jose Mourinho right now. You're defending Jose with your lives now.
You've got to stand by the manager.
Jay. No. I respect it. What are you saying now, player? Is he the guy that's going to take you to where you need to be and what he's paid to do?
I believe so. I think do you know why I love him? Because he's honest. You know, he will let you know that there's. I don't think a man like him can see there's something beyond his control that he can't resolve. And I think he's learned from being in situations where something's beyond his control, he can't resolve it, to say that, whereas he wouldn't have done before. He'd have created a siege mentality and blamed everybody else for what was going on. So it's a strange situation to be at this point, having seemingly galvanised the squad, and it'll be a strange season for it to seem like the wheels one of the wheels anyway, have come off. So I hope he gets
a couple came off still.
No, just one. It's you know what I mean? It's just one.
It's a motorbike.
We're not that far away from G's team, mate. A couple of wins, a couple of losses, you know, we stop.
No.
You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. We're not that far away from him.
So let me ask you, Joel. So if he doesn't get top four, which he won't, and he doesn't win a cup, which I don't think he will, that's a massive backward step from post Poch, surely. To not even maintain what Poch was doing and build on that, which is why he was brought in.
Poch never won a trophy, though.
No, but Poch was giving you good football in top four.
Right, agreed. But he never won a trophy, right?
So that's why Jose was brought in to go that next step further, surely.
And we still got a chance to win trophies, right?
Yeah.
How many chances, Joe? Jay, you seem unsure, so I need to make sure.
Are you in the FA Cup still? I don't know. I shouldn't know, but I don't know.
We are indeed, sir.
Okay, so it's three then.
You know.
Okay. All right. Okay.
No, I'm just saying.
You just said anything can happen, right? They're in the final of the, as Ollie would call it, the Rumblers, right? So there's a chance there, right?
So let me ask you, Marvin.
One of them all, Jay, could see us where in the Champions League next year, bro. I know, but you're sports journal. Come on.
No, personally, I think you're favourites for that cup.
I'm just saying, all is not lost, you know.
Like, yeah. Okay.
George, just out of interest. And I don't love the Europa, right? But why are Spurs favourites?
I think they've got a manager that, unlike you, that I trust in the latter stages of that trophy over you. So, Joe, let me just put something to you that Ollie, our regular Tottenham fan, he said something interesting a few weeks ago. Marvin asked him, would he accept, as a Spurs fan, this level of football, if this kind of football, if it brings, was it top four and a cup, was it? And Ollie said, I hope I'm quoting him correctly, because otherwise we'll come in on a vex one next week. He then said, the only way this type of football is justifiable is if you win the big one, i.e. the Premier League. That's not going to happen now. Where do you stand? If he wins the League Cup final, the way that he's won it as a Spurs fan, is that justifiable? Is that a fair trade-off, if you like?
I'm not against the style of football. So you're asking somebody who doesn't have an issue with that. But just to kind of add to the conversation, styles make fights. You know what I'm saying? I'm a believer in that. I'm coming from a different school, Jay.
Telling me you're entertained? Let's have it right here, because you seem like a man that watched a lot of football.
What I'm saying to you, Marvin, is I've been entertained.
Right? That wasn't good enough, right?
I'm saying when we talk about, when we put the conversation of entertainment to one side, because we can have it, I've been entertained. This is not as entertaining. Okay. So then it becomes an issue of, do you want to win stuff or not? And that's where I like to take the conversation.
Yeah, Joel, that's exactly what Jordan's saying.
So for you, is it win at all costs now?
No, it's always been that for me.
That makes sense, Joel. Like, what you're saying is what we've always said. If Jose plays the shit, boring football that has me playing Candy Crush while you guys are playing, results in a trophy, then fair enough, Spurs fans can finally say, we won a trophy. I think the point and the question that we've always asked and the challenge that we've had is, if you don't win a trophy, then you're just shit. Because the football's poor, and the football's not even manifesting itself in winning of cups. So, to Jordan's point, it is a step back. Poch wasn't winning anything, but he was entertained. If Marina's giving you neither of the above, then surely you're going to be like, well, this is not really going the way we want.
Okay,
it to go.
So the operative word is if, right?
Yeah.
Like I just said, one wheel's come off, not all four. And the way people are talking is like. There's five teams in the title race. I'm just saying. So for me, so from that point of view, you've got to say to yourself, win first, look good second. Jordan, I've said it on your show.
I agree with that.
Not a white man can't jump thing around here. I don't want to look good first and win second. I want to win first and look good second. Now, that might be a symptom of me being a Spurs supporter my whole life, I think that way. I haven't had the years that you had of nice, flowing football under Arsene Wenger, so that skewed your thinking about where you should be as a club. I want to win first, and then...
He's laughing because I clocked the shot in there and it was a good shot. But go on.
There's a quick snipe there.
It was, but I rate it. just briefly, Joel and Marvin, where will Spurs finish? Do you think they will win a cup this year? Go on, G, you go first.
Oh, I thought you said Joel and Marvin. I'm saying about where they are now, they'll finish and
ninth. They're right there now, G.
Yeah, I'm saying that, and no trophy.
Marv,
I think they'll finish in the top seven. I think they'll get Europa, but I don't think they'll win a cup. No.
Do we think? But Jose starts next season.
Yeah, I do. I think he's got enough ammunition through Kane injuries and troubles that I think Levy will give him another year, unless someone comes out of the woodwork. But I think he'll have another year unless he doesn't finish in the top half and they don't win it. I think if they finish like 11th, 12th, then you got to have a look. They've got a big stadium to pay for, whether it's Europa or not. They need European football, right? And he's made it clear. He's hinted they're going to go all out for the Europa, right? That's their way into the Champions League and the Cup. So I think he's I think you might even see the resting of Kane and Son in some of the Premier League games. And that's what he did with us when we won the Europa. Yeah. He realised he weren't going to get Champions League by the normal route, and he went all out to get us in via that route. So don't be surprised if he does that again.
Last question, G. You've had Jose in your bed a couple of times. He said some quotes on after the...
Has G been in the bed? I feel G's just like a fluffer in the bathroom.
Maybe. There's some quotes after the game against West Ham were quite interesting, where he was alluding to the fact that, you know, Spurs haven't won anything. You know, my methods are second to none. This is bigger than me. And I kind of wondered, maybe I'm reaching. It's been known. Maybe I'm reaching. But it felt to me like the start of a very subtle resignation that may be drawn out over the next 6 months. It kind of was like a little bit of a, look, I've won stuff in my career. Spurs haven't. What's the common denominator here?
You're reaching, man. You're reaching.
Maybe I am.
No, you're reaching. That was about, because where's Dele Alli? Like, there's certain things going on. I think he came in fixed and he didn't really fix them. He patched them up and maybe we've got his team to die. I think that's what's happened. But I could be speculating. My thing is, I don't think he's quite got that team where he wants them. And I think he knows now who's stopping that and who could make that happen. And so that's why I'd see him in charge next year.
So who is stopping them?
And furthermore, when he says that, it's true, isn't it? What?
But okay. Well, first of all, I don't think that is true. I don't think he is the best manager by a landslide, and he hasn't been for many years. But who is just out of interest?
Who's better than him?
Well, hold on. I want to ask you a question here, right? You said he knows he's stopping it. Who's stopping it? Because for me, Jose's stopping it.
Yeah, but it's as simple as this, isn't it? We all know if you lose the dressing room, it doesn't matter who's in charge, does it?
So no, it doesn't. But you said he knows who's stopping it. I'm asking you, who's stopping it?
Well, I don't know. He never said that. He didn't say that much, did he? I'm just saying, for him to come out...
Let me tell you, as far as I'm concerned, you look at those team selections, that is not a man that wants to win by 3-4, 5-0. That is a man that... Get me in the lead.
Why are we winning by 3-5-0?
But why are we starting with that? No, but that's the point, Joel. The point is half the time...
Because that's what you need
you guys aren't putting teams away. You're getting 1-0 up and we're just waiting for an equaliser... or for you to drag it out. So the point I'm trying to make is I wanted you to name names, right? Because you're saying we know who's holding, he knows who's holding them back. And for me, the main thing that's holding them back is Jose's team selections and Jose's tactics.
Okay. That might be the case, right? That might be the case.
You're talking to a Man United fan here, right? I've watched a lot of shit football under Jose.
I'll be honest with you, but he's been your most successful manager since though. You watch a lot of shit.
Listen,
football,
all right, okay. He's been the most successful. Let me be very clear. We haven't been successful. Period.
Okay,
since Fergie left, we haven't been successful.
That's
yes, okay.
Facts.
Polish that turd as many ways as you like it. I'm telling you, the reason why he's fired is because what you call successful was still not good enough.
Guess what? You might not be there where you call successful ever again. But I'm just saying.
I'm laughing because it hurt, but it might be true.
I'm just saying, if he wasn't successful. Bottom line is, I'm not about being entertained as much as you do. It seems I've been entertained, bro. But trust me, I sat behind the people that go and get the injured folk off the pitch and heard Joe Poch having a laugh. But I've been as close to the good stuff as it can be. And so what?
I just think football, just to wrap G, I just think life is too short. And I just think if you're not being entertained via football, winning trophies is about sports. This is competition. It's about winning. I get that. But if you're turning up when we get back to the grounds every single week and you're winning, but it's awful. You're 2 hours of your life watching turgid football, winning 1-0. I'm just like...
Life is too short, man.
I think
Joel's right. You kind of got spoiled.
Have I been spoiled?
because trust me, when you win the league at the end of the season, you forget about all the shit 1-0 wins. All you remember is the euphoria of winning the league.
Well, you'd know. That's fair. listen.
Or the Champions League, which you would.
And let's be very clear, you won that in an awful fashion, but fair play, fair play.
Yeah, yeah, and I was euphoric. Yeah. It was the best day of my life.
Everything that the four of us are saying right now is all the same point in my mind.
No, so of course it is. I value entertainment as on par with winning. That's how I see football now. Do you know what I mean? Okay. So I don't agree.
It doesn't matter because you're
not going to see any of them.
That's them. That's got shit in the corner. Because now, do you know what I mean? Like, what's going on? You can't look. How can it be a 50-50 balance? To say who's exhibiting that? Who's executing that?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I said I think we're all on the same page, and then George said that, and then I realised these are the different library.
I just think life's too short, man. I can't give up 2 hours of my 2 hours of my day to watch rubbish football. What's the point?
George, are you telling me that you wouldn't
But Joel's right. He's coming from a club that have won nothing. So I get the yearning to win. No, I'm not even shooting. But he's coming from a place where he's coming from a place where. They want to win. And I get that. I've won three titles in my life. I've won cups. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you've seen the bus rider.
I hear it. So maybe I'm coming from a position of slight privilege. I get it. But I'm just like, listen, I can't watch that Jose ball week in, week out. I just...
For me, there was one point you seemed like you wanted Jose.
But he doesn't know Joel. It's not like the first year's turgid football brings in a cup and then it gets better and better.
He hasn't been anywhere long enough to say that. So we can't evaluate him on that. He normally gets in and makes an immediate impact, we're still waiting for. So yeah, we'll see.
Sorry, Jim, what was you saying, G?
I was going to say, at one point, you seemed like you wanted Jose in to Arsenal, to be fair.
Oh, me, no. Some of the Arsenal fans did, but I never wanted Jose.
There was a point. When he came out
I didn't want Eddie Howe anyway. It's just ending the pod on lies now. What's going on out here? Anyway.
Now, George, you were very complimentary of Jose the second. Remember that in the group chat, that's why people started making...
No. See, now I can't end the pod. I've got to clear my name. What I said was the heat that Jose got... For the way that he turned Chelsea around in January that season, where they were entertaining for the first half, they got slapped by Spurs, I think it was Boxing Day or New Year's Day. And then from then on, he turned it to boring. I said, I totally understood and endorsed what he did because he wanted to get the job done. I got it. People were killing him for it, but I understood it. That's all I said.
But I mean, you defended him pretty strongly, Jordan.
Yeah, I did.
But what I'm saying is, I got that impression from the defence of him, that you would have taken him at Arsenal at that.
No. Let me just... And I'll be editing this bit out of the pod, so we might as well just end it there, you know what I mean?
Didn't you say you take Simeone as well?
George, you definitely said that.
Yeah, mate.
It's hard. We need to... Every pod you do, we need to do a bio underneath and say what Jordan said in this pod. Because I get it. I'm kind of tired.
Gabriel, Marvin, Jim's coming on the pod this week. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. We're on all the podcast outlets. We're on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook as well.
And for those leave a comment. Listeners, just find out the Jordan lies. Just tell us what pod to listen to. Because I know there's pods out there where he says stuff he's denied and we just can't be bothered to go find it. So if you are an avid listener,
it's not out there. Don't waste your time. Let's hold him to account, people. Don't waste your time.
Hold Jordan to account.
Don't waste your time. We'll see you next week. Peace. George,